Blog Talk Radio.
You thought I was worth.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord. This is
Good Friday, and it is a day we remember the work of the cross that freed us and gave us, my God, a hope and a future in heaven, an eternal future and a new creature life. We've been granted, those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to do a couple of things a little bit different. I do want to play this song, and I want to read the scripture of what happened to our Savior in the 9 o'clock hour, because we're in the 9 o'clock hour. So I hope that you can hear this song, because I have to do it actually with phones and all of that. So. With a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said that, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, surely this was a righteous man. That is the account in Luke. 23rd chapter. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, it shares a little bit more of what happened when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, yielding up the ghost. And as we are looking at the power of the tongue, the creative power of the the words that are boxes for our faith, spirit words that release faith. When Christ cried out, it is finished, he released a word of faith for us to know he had done it all. And then it says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did shake, and the rocks rent. Responded to what was happening to its creator. And the earth shook. It shook. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. When you got a hope, though it looks like you were dead, when he released that word of faith, the dead in Christ woke up. The power, the creative power of the word of God. It is finished. Made the grave know I can't even hold these saints any longer, because he has won the victory for them. He has conquered death. And then it says, and the dead rose, and they called them the ones that were sleeping in the Lord, and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. So we see that it is not just what they call it, a bouffant. It's not just the, oh, did that really happen? People saw it with their own eyes, because the power of the tongue of what Christ said on the cross released a force that caused people to see the glory of God. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, they saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly is the Son of God. And we rejoice that this truly Son of God, those words that he echoed, his words still have the same creative power. And when we hear them now, they touch our spirit. They touch our faith. They revive us into a newness that gives us insight into what the Lord would have for us. And then we have the the next word, conversation that came from Christ after the resurrection. We're talking about the word. We're talking about the tongue released. He could have done it. They could have seen it, and he could have went to heaven. But he is such a loving, perfect God that what he chose to do was to release in the spirit of those that followed him a power and a force to help as they were going to go forth without his physical presence, but in the power of his. And so they called them the next seven conversations after the resurrection. And each conversation had a purpose. Each conversation had a duty to fulfill in our life. And the first one happened in Matthew 28, 8 through 10, and in John 20, 15 through 18. Greetings. This is what Christ said. Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it, Mary? Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. We can appreciate he established in the earth realm with his word. Now God is not just Father, but he is our Father as well. This conversation number one is a message to his inner circle for direction. It is the message to the women, and it provides personal comfort to those seeking to serve God. This conversation is occurring at the cemetery. Things are dead, and yet now life has sprung forth, eternal life, the first fruit of the grave. It has come forth and released a whole world that never existed before, making us, as they share in our book, we become supernatural now because we have received this word of faith and truth from the God of creation. It says the second conversation after resurrection. What are you discussing together as you walk along. What things? How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ suffer these things and then enter his glory? This is found in Luke and in Mark. This is the second conversation after the resurrection of Christ. This conversation was a message to men in ministry. I hope y'all caught that. I got so excited that the fact that his first conversation after resurrection that is recorded was to women seeking to serve, and he gave them direction. He gave them direction for the man. I hope we're getting a new insight into this stuff. This means something. It gives us, sometimes people say, well, I don't really know what my purpose is or what it is I'm to do. We find it in the Word of God. Obviously, the conversation that came forth out of the resurrected Christ has a lot to do with what he was establishing as the kingdom of heaven on earth. And he spoke first to the women who were willing to serve, who were seeking him from a heart of service. They were coming to dress him. They didn't even realize they were spying him alive. What a joy. And so the second conversation was a message to men in ministry. We find our Lord converting with two men walking together on the road to Emmaus. And he takes time to correct their thinking about Scripture and how it relates to ministry. Just like our God always teaching, always leading, always correcting. I love it, this road to Emmaus. And we all know about the Emmaus ministry and how it is based on bringing corrections to individuals that are walking along a path that isn't in harmony with Scripture so that they can relate properly to the Word of God. And then you have the third conversation after the cross. And it says, it comes out of John 20 as well as Luke 24. Peace be with you. You know, first he said, don't be afraid. Now he's saying, peace be to you. All powerful, creative words that will bring us to a disposition of the supernatural, because we're not allowing what the circumstances around us to mold and shape our emotions or our hopes and our dreams, but it gives us a new path to walk on the path of peace, on the path away from fear. Fear not. Don't be afraid any longer. Fear had paralyzed us in so many ways, in some of the things that become new to our walk. We're just paralyzed with the fear of going forward. And we have to remember that the first words that he said that are recorded in the Word of God was, don't be afraid, because they were looking for him. Fear not. Let your emotions know that they can rejoice. Now he's saying, let your emotions know that there's peace. There is peace. Why are you troubled, and why do you doubt, and does doubt rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch and see me. A ghost does not have flesh and blood, bones, as you see I have. Do you have anything here to eat? This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. This is what is written. Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Your witnesses of these things, you are witnesses of these things, and I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. After this conversation, we look at this third message. Is to his disciples, men and women. Even after the confirmed report from the women and the men of Emmaus, the disciples did not believe. It was a conversation of confirmation and reassurance. It also was directional and an instruction of the Holy Spirit. In other words, revival was taking place. This conversation appeared behind closed doors. Oh, there's a treasure in the church. When it says, fail not to assemble yourself. Meet him there, because his mysteries will be revealed to those who seek him and fear him. And he will impart to them things that the world will not know. And we will be tasked to releasing it in the earth realm. He gave them the understanding that what the prophets have said is true, what Moses has said is true, what the psalmist has penned and sung is true. It is written that he would suffer, but he rose from the dead on the third day. And the reason being so that repentance and forgiveness of sins can be preached to those that believe in what he has done. And he said, touch me. Don't trouble your heart or doubting him. Touch me. Touch my hand. Touch my feet. It's me. Touch me. See me. Then he said, feed me. I'm just like you. I'm not a ghost. I'm real. I need food to eat. This is what he told them. Everything must be fulfilled, and you are being witnesses to this fulfillment and to my presence, but behind closed doors. And then we have the fourth conversation recorded out of John 20. It says, peace be with you. Put your finger here. See my hand. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's our blessing. That's our confirmation. That's our reassurance. It's just pay attention to what is happening here. This fourth conversation is a message to just one particular disciple in closed quarters. He will leave the 99 to go and get the one. Even after the confirmed report from their fellow brethren, Thomas still doubted and did not believe. He wasn't condemned for that. He was actually sought because he did not believe, and he was shown the evidence of what was true so that his belief would be thrown out the window, quite frankly, that he was allowed to touch his side. I think it's important that it was his side that he told him to touch. That's those inward places of doubt and hurt and wounds. And he said, touch my side because I have shed my blood for you. This is the shedding of the seven places Christ shed his blood, the seven last things, and the seven conversations after resurrection. And so this was a conversation of confirmation and reassurance, but mainly a message about the power of belief. And God is a God that if he needs to show you so that you can believe, he will. His love is so pure and so perfect for us. And then the fifth conversation recorded with children. Friends, have you any fish? Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Bring some of the fish you have caught. Come and have breakfast. I love that. Behold, he stands at the door and knocks. Any man that opens the door, he'll come in and he will sup with them. He seeks us. He came to where they were, where they were working, where they were a little despondent, because they hadn't a lot despondent, because they hadn't caught anything to eat. And this message was to children and or friends of Christ. The focus is the importance of conversing or talking during breakfast. How often do we miss opportunities to talk because we want to get our day started or we are distracted by the things of this world? This conversation is occurring on the shore, or rather, while the men are at work. God meets us where we go, where we need to be. He understands that. And he will come in and sup with us wherever we are. Now, the sixth conversation recorded comes out of John 21, and it says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Feed my lambs. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Take care of my sheep. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Follow me. If I want him to remain alive until I return, then that is up to me. He's talking about John because they were questioning about the disciple John. And so God is sharing with them. That his personal message to one of his disciples who feels guilty and shame for a previous wrongdoing as well as his place in ministry. It is also a message about personal responsibility and the danger of insecurity, having to make a decision to do what God has asked even when no one else is doing it. This conversation is occurring after breakfast, after breaking the fast. Hallelujah. And we want to receive the truths that are shared here. This is a powerful document that was created by the Metropolitan Bishop Nathaniel Isaac for Holy Week and the 7 days. And the last thing that comes out of Mark and Luke is, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to to the very end of the age. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accomplish who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hand on sick people, and they will get up. Finally, this one was to appreciate the passion of Christ even after a devastating loss. The Bible reports that Christ was present on earth after his resurrection and prior to his ascension for 40 days. And he interacted with his people. There are 7 reported conversations in the Bible where Christ interacted with his people. These 7 conversations are considered to be the very first words after his resurrection. Part of the devotion requires us to read the conversations in their entirety. This last conversation is a charge and a release or a commission to any disciple who willingly takes up their cross to follow him. In this, our Lord shares his mission and his vision, his heart. God shares it with us and invites us to join him. It is directional and focus-driven. The purpose-driven life receives its mandate from this conversation after the resurrection. It is also the last time that our Lord will talk with us in this face-to-face manner. He and the Father speak to us through our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This conversation is occurring on a mountain. The places that it occurred are important. The scenery is important. The characters are important. This is available, and anyone that would like to have it, if you just send me a text, I can make sure that the Metropolitan gets it to you. It is a powerful document, and I thought it was the perfect way for us to look at our lesson today in the authority and the power of the tongue. Any comments or insights?
So much that was revealed, and I have that, but I hadn't read it yet, so how you broke it down makes me want to go forth and read it in content, the full content of it, and study
it. Amen.
Yeah.
It's a powerful document. It also shares the 7 places he shed his blood and the last 7 sayings. And I know that we are very familiar with those, but I felt it was so important, the next 7 conversations, because it's talking about his words, and we're studying the authority of the words, the power of the words. We're studying the ability of the tongue to release some very, very creative, powerful things in the earth realm on behalf of the Father. And that's what the Son was doing. He was releasing it. These were faith-filled words. He believed in them when he told them, as he gave them, that that's what is to come. And he shared it with them in the midst of circumstances and situations that you would tend to derail, if you will, the Jewish people that crucified him and the Romans, you know, that actually did it. And so it was a perfect opportunity to sit not and complain, but to condemn what had been done to him. But he brought it to them in such a way that he wanted to see it only was glorifying God, that God is in control. No matter what our circumstances look like, it is God and God alone. And as he does, he makes it glorious. I mean, truly, truly glorious. Amen. And so what we end up wanting to express is this passion that Christ has, which is why it's called Passion Week, the passion of Christ, because he so it is and was as he did this for the Father. And so he wants us to be encompassed, enclosed in his passion, so that as we go forth, he shared at the end, nothing will harm us. We have to believe that. We have to say it, as the author in the book says, even if you don't feel it, it don't look like it, it don't smell like it, it don't taste like it, say it anyway, because God said it and you are declaring it to be so. You're speaking those things that are not as though they are. And you have the faith in believing because of the power of God, because of the power and the authority. Christ said, all power and authority has been given to me. This is what Christ shared with us to let us know the person that we have connected ourselves to is the supreme, over and above all things, and now we're able, if you will, to run with the big dogs. Okay, we're able to run with the ones that got some power and authority, and they got something to say, and they can and will do what they said they would do. And this sense of comfort and this sense of establishing, if you will, the kingdom and its principles through conversation that Christ has is what he is admonishing us in the book to do. Make your words work. You know, they're going to work either for good or evil. Make them work for the kingdom of God. Make them be power to initiate faith in other people. You know, when Christ shared his faith, it gave the women that came a faith to go on to run and tell it. A faith gave them, it activated their faith till no longer were they sad. Why are you crying? Now they have this joy. That joy was activated by the words of Christ. Because even if they, when they saw him, that didn't do for them because they thought he was a gardener. But when he spoke to them, when he released spirit-filled words, those words touched their faith, and their faith revived their emotions and their spirit, and it gave them a joy. And I can't imagine the joy that came upon their soul. And that has to be a joy that you need even when things don't look as great as you want them to. But you remember that joy. You remember the peace. You remember that his words not just calms the storm and sea. And anybody that has seen water rage, have seen a wave and waves and waves of water rise up. And I mean not just little water, but massive bodies of water. Mm-hmm. And the power of them and how they toss big, huge, you know, enormous ships around like it's a toothpick, that kind of power. And he just spoke and said, peace, be still, and the storm stopped. And so it is a power that we need to be able to visualize, as they say, in our holy imagination. But in our faith, when we read his word, we need to activate it with an illustration in our mind of what he's saying. When he said, peace be still, in the middle of a hurricane, in the middle of, you know, wind that tears roofs off houses and houses out of their foundation and tall buildings off of their place. He does that. But when he says peace, be still, all things obey his word. And we have been given that authority. When he created us in his image, and then he says, that which I do, you will do and more, because he understands what he has given us. He understands the price that has been paid for us to enjoy it, have been paid for us to not just enjoy it, but to share it and to voice it aloud, live it out loud, so the creation will see the Creator in everything we do and say and everywhere we go and the way we go. And so all of the areas that Christ shed his blood are pivotal to us understanding the power that shed blood does in our walk and in our life. We understand as these words spark faith in other people that the faith resides in the Spirit, and the Spirit is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is all powerful to do all things that the Father would have them do. It says the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceived that he had faith to be healed. This is where the faith of healing and the faith of speak to the mountain and it shall be removed. And we say it, we say it, and then we try to justify and we try to quantify what that looks like. But we have to just say it and believe. He said, if you tell it to get up and move and go into the ocean or move wherever, that it will do it, because it understands the authority of your words when you believe in your words, when you believe. One of the things that was so profound for me in the movie The Ark and the Darkness was how in the deep, the earth opened up, and water in the volcano and things of that nature came forth. And so we don't understand just the scope of the power that lies really, I was going to say, at our fingertips or under our feet, but in our influence, in the power, it's within our reach, because it's wherever our words go. It's wherever our words go, and it can create such a thing. It can create such an opening of the earth, which was what happened when Christ died. The earth opened up. It responded to the words on the cross and what was happening with Christ. Mm. It responded to its maker. The rocks just broke open. You know, he said that if you don't praise me, the rocks will. The rocks responded to what they were doing to Christ, what had been done, and what Christ had released. You know, when something, I can speak here, they have all these little science projects, and if you play a certain decimal of a sound loud enough, and it will break glass, okay? So the words that or the sound waves from that sound, when it comes in contact with different things, it changes its composition. So this sound wave can actually break a glass or a mirror or a window. It breaks it. And just the waves of the sound. The sound of our voice has that same creative power. And when Christ said it is finished, that waves vibrated to the temple caused the veil to sit there and ask. It the power of his words caused the temple veil to tear in half, because it was no longer had authority to keep man out, because the one that had given all authority had done all that needed to happen so that man can come close to God. And so the power of our words are creative, and he says you can have the fruit, can be good or evil, but whatever they are, that's what we will feed on. And so we have to believe those things that the Lord has shared. Insight, we're coming to the end of our book 8, going into chapter 9, which is really the last chapter, because 10 is real small. I love it when the book share the fact that the creative power of the tongue forms spirit words. It forms spirit words because of our faith, forms these spirit words. And these, this creative power that ignites faith that is pent up in the spirit man, but had never been released in action. Faith that is not released into action is like gas that has never been ignited. It'll kill you because it's leaking, if you will, and it's hard to smell. So the whole point of it is to bring forth a fire, and when it doesn't, then it chokes. That gas chokes. And we can choke on a faith that we are, subduing. We're not releasing. We are suppressing it instead of releasing it. And then I believe in a lot of areas, that's how sickness happens. Because we're keeping it in and we need to release it out. And as it flows, anything that flows becomes healthier. It becomes, there's a constant movement that gives life and that brings into a circumstance, a situation that which is had not been there before. Not something that's been there and you've used it so many times. Like sheep, sheep have to be moved from one field to another, or else they will stay at that one field and eat everything that's there and then start eating their own excrement, with the excrement. And so we have to, we need guidance of a shepherd to move us on, to keep us flowing and going. And, you know, they say go with the flow of the Holy Spirit and where he's leading, because we can't stay at one place, continue to be healthy. And I don't mean physically one place, but I mean spiritually. We grow. We go from glory to glory to glory. So that is pretty much our Good Friday fellowship of learners. The lines are open. Questions, comments, testimony, witnesses, insights of this Holy Week for any of you. Pat always shares. That's so such a blessing for me. It truly is. So, I did get your email or texts for those that would like that that document. So I will get it to you today.
And I'll send it again. I thought that it was something from them, but it wasn't that. It was about the event. So can you send it to me? I'll text you my email.
Okay. Absolutely.
And thank you for awesome teaching. I wish I would be there Sunday. Not this Sunday, but soon.
Amen. Amen. You'll see us online.
Good morning, y'all.
Oh, yes, Zoom. Yeah.
Good morning, Minnesota. Thank you for the seven things, the seven conversations, because I don't think I've heard the, I think I've heard people say something about seven things in the last, you know, words, but not conversation. So it was enjoyable to hear, you know, to hear that. Thank you for presenting that to us.
Absolutely. I am honored when I've been intending to look at it, and then when I started reading, it's like, oh, this is the lesson. You know, this is mm-hmm. the tongue speaking, created power, created disciples
right.
for Christ. It did. Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah. Okay.
Because to hear the last seven words is one thing, but to hear his last conversation, as you were saying, he was encouraging them, and you know, that says a lot.
It does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love the order that he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, God is out of order, you know. And so when we look at it, he didn't leave anybody out, anybody.
Right.
And he started, I guess, with the woman the last time she was in the garden, she messed up. So he let the next time be her in the garden, she was redeemed for what she had done. So I thank God.
Yes.
He does. He redeems us, you know. He loves
mm-hmm.
us. He's
yeah.
such a lovely, such a
wonderful. Yes. And that takes another focus, too, because sometimes you can look at the ending. But
right.
this is like, you know, you've heard the ending, but then the last conversation was a another beginning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
The songwriter that said, and that's not how the story ends. Okay. And
mm-hmm.
it ain't over yet
no.
either. Okay. Oh, my
mm-hmm.
goodness. Girl. I do
yes,
encourage
you know.
All. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, another beginning in your life, you know, because you know what his last saying, his last words
yeah.
were. But to hear his last conversations, you know, it's encouraging or should be encouraging to you.
Absolutely.
You know, to you meaning, you know, us. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's one
that,
thing.
That's his father. He has asked, you know, things he said to the father, but then the last conversations he had with different ones was still a conversation to us.
Yep. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen. Wonderful insight and revelation. I'm going to say it just makes it more real, but it makes it realer
yeah.
and real. No, that's not a real word, but it does. I mean, we take it for, but it does, and it makes it, it's just like his arms reaching down and hugging us. You know, us again, and you know, you learn. What did I do? Just because I love you, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I release this gift. And there are mysteries that he releases to those that love and fear.
Yes. And you go to the 99 just for that one.
There you go.
You leave the 99. You leave the 99 for the one.
Yep.
I said it wrong, first one.
Well, but you got it, so you fixed it. Yeah, absolutely.
Only God.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
And I think it's
I said thank you all so much.
Amen. We thank God. We do. You know, so we're going to worship well. And we will worship on a different level, on a new level, with new eyes and with a new place in our heart that has received a new light, a revelational light. And I think it's appropriate for what's going on around us and in the world. And I do encourage you guys to come up with our next book, because we're really at the end of this one.
And,
What'd you say? Okay. So if there's something that you heard about, comes in your spirit that you want us to look at, just text it to me, and we'll start preparing for the next book.
Okay.
Well, blessed Resurrection Weekend. There's so many things going on. Sunday at Laborers, the young people and apostles are in charge. So that's going to be
hallelujah.
Absolutely. Coupling of the two. And so I'm excited for that. I'm excited that, you know, they have an opportunity to stand in the house, in the sanctuary, and express themselves and learn to love and serve God to the point of sacrifice, because this is a sacrifice that they have to make. And so just continue to pray for them. Our young people experience life just as intensely as we do. And God is there for them just like he is for us. And so we want to keep them covered. And then I encourage you to keep a lookout for the Ark and the Darkness. We're going to have a movie showing of it at Laborers for Christ in our community side. We're going to have a movie afternoon that we're going to show that and have fellowship of just like going to the theater. In the month of April, you know, come up with the date as you have to, in order to host it, you got to go through some training and stuff, and it starts on April 4th. And so after then, we'll be able to give you more details of when, where, how. I am excited about it. It is an awesome time of exchange.
The Ark in the Darkness. What was the name of it?
The Ark.
Oh, good.
And the Dark. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You can see trailers on it and on YouTube. It was in the movie for 2 days, and then they were only showing it for those 2 days. And then they had so much interest in it that they're going to do it another day, which is April 1st. But don't go to theirs, because we want you guys to come to ours. So different churches are hosting the movie. It is scripturally accurate. I went to see it because I wanted to be sure. And it is scripturally accurate. And it's scientifically accurate. And so it's where faith meets I don't know. I have to think about what it means. But we were there already. Now they're catching up with us. We believe. But
that's how
just like he don't mind them. He don't mind giving them evidence of who he is. Come on, touch me, feel me, look at my stuff, look at what I did. And when you look at what I did, all I can say is you better let God be God and you better serve the living one. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. So it is a wonderful, what do they call them things? Depiction or something. X something like that. And so anyway. So be looking for it. I will keep you updated on it as well. Hey there. Hey there. Amen. So this is the end of the month, and Sunday is the last day of the month. I encourage you to have your own personal communion, and it's such a perfect day because it's the last day of the month, and it is Resurrection Sunday. So I do encourage you to have your own personal communion. Amen, amen, amen. Be blessed. Okay, bye-bye.